We've come together this morning for a service of remembrance and of thanksgiving for the life of Robert Sheddon, a dear husband, brother, uncle, family member and friend. We seek to benefit from this service in many ways. As we reflect on what Robert meant to each of us, we can give thanks to God for him and the blessings that we received through him. The service is a focus for our grief and loss, and an important stage in our journey of laying Robert to rest and seeking to move forward in hope. It's a way for us as a community to stand with Robert's family and say to them that we share their loss and we want to support them in it. And as we hear God's word, we may gain wisdom and learn the more to value each day God gives us and our loved ones, and seek to use each day as an opportunity to come closer to God and prepare for when we too shall meet him. Robert was born on the 3rd of October 1955 to Mary and Robert Sheddon. He was brought up in Barrhead until at age 17 the family moved to Dreghorn in Ayrshire. Before he could talk properly, he had a habit of taking his large piggy bank and counting all the coppers in it. His mother said he'd turn out to be a mathematician, and so it was in a manner of speaking. After doing well at school, he began work in Dreghorn with the Bank of Scotland, with whom he would ultimately serve for 37 years. At the time, he also took night classes to improve his qualifications for his work. As his banking career progressed, he went on to serve in Glasgow, Dunoon, Gairloch, Kyle, where he was manager, and finally Broadford as business banking manager. This was followed by 6 years at Kyle Petrol Station. On the 6th of October 1989, Robert married Angela, just 14 months after their relationship began. They first caught each other's attention through Robert's daily habit of crossing the road and buying lunch from Angela, where she was working in the Mace. He would say he met her at just the right time in his life, and the marriage took place here in this building. And there followed 28 happy years, and all who knew Robert and Angela would say they were ideally suited. Angela did, however, have to share her marriage with the beloved Gerrs. She showed me a supporter scarf Robert was given when he was aged just 4. Apparently it, and not a picture of her, went into the coffin. Robert jokingly suggested as well that the collection today be for the Rangers Benevolent Fund. He loved to play football as well as to watch it, and he loved to play the beautiful game at school. And when in Kyle as well, he played for our local football team, where he made his mark not only for his game, but also for his friendliness and sportsmanship. He also played golf and loved to watch all sport. With Angela, he enjoyed days out and their holidays together, and also several holidays with friends. When alone, he loved to do crosswords and Sudoku, his banker's ability with numbers coming out there. The bank manager has the difficult job of trying to keep head office happy while also providing a service to the community. Many of you would have had dealings with Robert in that role. The size of our gathering today tells, among other things, that you knew that Robert had your best interests at heart in his job. That meant he felt pressure from higher up the chain. So there was a burden that he carried for the community as bank manager, which he felt lifted from him when he was no longer in that job. And we're thankful that Robert carried that burden for us. He did so as a very loyal employee too. Apparently he was hardly ever off work throughout his 37 years, apart from 1 week with chicken pox. In keeping with this, I've heard and seen many comments about how helpful Robert was to different people in his role, setting them on the financial straight and narrow, as one person put it. But he was also good to his staff. the best manager I ever had, one of them said. Apparently Robert was once asked by the regional manager, "What's your secret, Robert? All the other branches have a high turnover of staff, but yours stay." That says a lot. Subsequent work at the petrol station perhaps fitted his temperament better in many ways, as there were not the same pressures and there was often time for a friendly chat as well as his warm service. Robert could be seen there up until just a few weeks ago, despite the cruel progress of his illness, as someone who didn't like to cause hassle and who tried to protect others from stress. He kept apologising for, as he saw it, all that he was putting everyone else through because of his illness. Although his latter decline was very rapid, thankfully all his close family were able to see him in Rigmore, including Ruth, who managed through last Sunday, and his nephew Graham, who just made it over from the States in time. And they were able to be with him right up to his last moments. Thankfully, these were peaceful and with very little suffering. And we're thankful too that Robert was able to say to Angela that he had made his peace, meaning his peace with God. So passed from our midst a man who, in his quiet and unassuming way, made a lasting mark in our community. Tributes made to him have spoken of how he was a true gentleman, had time and a smile for everyone, was kind, warm, cheerful, patient, treated others as he wanted to be treated himself, and was happy so long as they were. A straightforward man who liked a simple life, free from strife and from trying to outdo others. He will be greatly missed. As a congregation and a community, we express our deep sympathy, our love and our prayers to Robert's wife, Angela, to his sister, Anne, and her husband, John, and their sons, Stuart and Graham, and their loved ones too, to his sister, Kay, and her partner, Tommy, and their son, Ross, to his mother-in-law, Ruth, to brother-in-law, Charlie, his wife, Fiona, and their boys Andrew and Callum, and to his sister-in-law Sandra and her daughter Ailey. May God enfold you all in his peace and comfort. On behalf of Angela, I thank friends and family for your cards, your visits, your phone calls, your kindness. The house is full of cakes. How Robert would have liked that. Apparently he had a habit of seeing what cakes were on offer for sweets, so he'd know how much room he had to leave for them after his main course. They'd also like us to put on record a special thanks for this fantastic support that they've received from Elizabeth at Beth's coffee shop, from David Booth at the petrol station, and from Douglas and Marianne Sutherland. And so we come together as a congregation, a community, to God's presence in this service, this funeral service. And we're going to begin our worship by singing on your service, your order of service, "The Lord's My Shepherd," the familiar shepherd psalm, which takes us through all the different experiences of life and bids us to exercise personal faith and trust in the Lord as our shepherd. So we'll stand to sing. Thank you, Lydia. we'll join together in prayer, and at the close of the prayer we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray together. Lord God, we come into your presence, and we do indeed seek your shepherding care for us this morning. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you that you are present here with us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are, as you have proclaimed yourself to be, the Lord God, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. And we pray that at this moment we may know the touch of your compassion in our lives, and that we, Lord, may be able to find a comfort in your presence and in your guidance and in your mercy through Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will guide us in this short time. We so want this time to be of help and of benefit. Lord God, we come to you as people in grief, with loss, painfully burdening our hearts. But we thank you, Lord, that you are inviting us to come. Come all you who are labouring and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Living God, we pray that you will help us to trust you, you help us to worship you now, help us to give thanks, and we have much to thank you for. And we do ask, Lord, that you'll make this service a particular help to all of Robert's family here and to all of the close friends who are here to support them, and all the community as we bear our own burdens as well and our needs. And so, Lord, we come together as a congregation in prayer, and we say together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to read a short passage now from the Gospel of Luke. This is a story where Jesus his help is sought by a centurion, a Roman centurion. So this is Luke chapter 7 and from verse 1. We read that Jesus entered the town of Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was ill and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Amen. God bless that reading from his word. This centurion that we read about, he was part of the Roman occupying force, the occupied Judea, where the story takes place. He could have taken the view that he was there as a Roman to oppress the Jews, but instead he sought to work with them and to make the occupation beneficial to them. Like a bank manager, he had to work in a system where he had superiors who were not always sympathetic to his humanitarian approach. Like a bank manager, he had staff to take care of. He did his job so well that the Jewish elders plead with Jesus that he's deserving of Jesus' help. And he has friends who go to Jesus to speak on his behalf. We warm to this man, as we've seen already, so many have warm feelings towards Robert. But however we stand in this life, we still will all have our trials. And for the centurion, it was that his valued servant was gravely ill. And he took care of his staff. He didn't think, well, I can always get another servant. He cared for the person, not just what they could do for him. Again, we've heard how Robert's staff felt valued by him. But the centurion felt helpless. His servant was becoming more and more unwell. We too have felt helpless, watching Robert's decline in health. What did the centurion do? He heard Jesus had come to the town. He sends the Jewish elders to Jesus for help. I'm sure many of us have prayed to Jesus in situations of helplessness. Even if we don't pray at other times, we've done so in times of great need. So Jesus is on his way when the centurion sends more friends. And this is where we see something deeper and something amazing about this centurion. He sends those friends to say, "Lord, Lord," he says, "don't trouble yourself. For I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." This centurion has so much faith in the power and in the love of Jesus that he says to Jesus, "You just need to say the word, and my servant will be healed." This centurion has such a sense of how undeserving he is of the help of God's Son that he doesn't even feel worthy that he should come under his roof. And even Jesus is amazed at the faith the centurion has in him. This is where we can learn for our own prayers how to come close to God and to find his help ourselves for our needs. When we come like the centurion with a sense that we are undeserving, that we too need God's mercy. And when we come with a real sense also of his love and of his power. The servant is healed. The centurion is comforted. And Jesus shows his love and his power are real. In a minute we're going to sing the words of the hymn, "Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as the dove, teach us the truth and help us believe. Show us the Saviour's love." And we see the Saviour's love in this story. And we need to know, as the hymn says, that it is the truth that we're reading. And that we need, like the centurion, to believe. As the hymn says, "Help us believe." So that we also can come in prayer to Jesus today and find the Saviour's love, his loving and merciful help. Like the centurion, we don't deserve it. But if Jesus only helped the deserving, he wouldn't have much to do. So let's then pray as the centurion did. Lord, Lord. I don't deserve your help, but please come into my life with your help and your love, that I may live for you. So let's join again together in prayer. Let's pray. Show us the Saviour's love. Lord God, we know that that love is a love whose length and breadth and height and depth passes knowledge. It's greater than we could ever understand. It's far greater than any love that we've ever known or ever been able to show ourselves. And it is able not only to express itself in words, but in power. We thank you, Lord, for the all-powerful love of Jesus that is able to reach down into our hearts and lives, even in the depths of our greatest needs, and to bring comfort and strength and hope and healing. And so, Lord, we ask that you will truly visit us in your mercy. We confess our undeserving, like the centurion, but we also thank you, Lord Jesus, that for the undeserving you came. You died on a cross for our sins, and you conquered death and rose to life, and you're here by your Spirit now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all your gifts, and we do this morning thank you for every blessing that each one of us here can remember and mark out and give account of that we received through Robert, through his friendship, through his relationship and family, through his service to the community in the bank and in the petrol station, through knowing him as a colleague, perhaps playing sport with him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way that this quiet man made such an impact upon each one of us and was dear and precious to us. Heavenly Father, we do worship you for your goodness and giving him to Angela. And we thank you for their 28 years of marriage. We bless you for that, Lord. Thank you for Robert's place in the family and in the community here. We pray, Lord, that you will truly send your embrace around all of the family just now, that Angela will know your strength, your courage, your help and your hope. That your blessing, Lord, will be with Robert's sisters. We pray for Anne. We pray for John and for Stuart and Graham and their loved ones. Loving God, we ask that you will support and be with them. Pray for Kay and for Tommy and for Ross. Bless and support them, we ask. Be with them. We ask your blessing, Lord, with Ruth. And thank you, Lord, for the strength that you've given her to be here and to provide her loving, motherly support for the family. We ask your blessing with Charlie, with Fiona, and with Callum and with Andrew as well. Pray that you'll help them as a family to move forward as well. Pray your blessing with Sandra and with Ailey. Heavenly Father, do particularly give your strength and support to them. But we come here today, Lord, conscious of other painful losses for the family in recent years. And we do, Lord, ask that you will especially just help their hearts just to be tender and just to be open to you and to receive your grace and your kindness at this time. So, Father, we do worship you and praise you as we continue in your presence. We ask, Lord, that you'll help us in all the meetings and the greetings today and family and friends seeking to say supportive and kind and strengthening words to one another. We ask you'll be with us at the graveside now and at the hotel afterwards. And we pray, Father, that also you will help us to live as Jesus taught us, one day at a time, not worrying about tomorrow, but just seeking with your strength to face each day. So hear our prayers, Lord. We are in your presence, and may we continue conscious of that, and may you help us, as we've been thinking, like the centurion, to reach out to Jesus for help, confident in his love and in his power and in his mercy. Hear our prayers, because we ask them and bring them in Jesus' name. Amen. On your service sheet, we have another hymn then, the hymn Spirit of God. And we're going to sing that now together. Let's worship God. Thank you again on Angela and the family's behalf for your presence and your support here this morning, and the ways in which you showed your kindness to them in recent days. There is a collection that you can donate to on the way out at the door, and this will go towards the work of Cancer Research UK. We go from here down to the new cemetery at Balmacara for the interment. And after that, you're warmly invited by Angela and her family back to the Lahalsh Hotel for soup and for sandwiches. Let's stand for the benediction and remain standing. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest upon and remain with each one of you, now and forevermore. Amen.